From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The city of Los Angeles is home to thousands of oil wells and refineries, many of them found near homes, schools, parks, places of worship, and hospitals. They harken back to the 1890s, when the city discovered some of the most productive oil fields in history. As its population grew, the borders between oil-producing zones and residential neighborhoods disappeared. The wells released toxic emissions, causing debilitating health problems, especially in frontline communities living closest to them. A grassroots coalition called Stand LA has been fighting for the rights of Angelenos to breathe clean air. Last week, following a city council hearing, the coalition held a rally outside City Hall in downtown LA. Dozens of allies came to support their demands, which include instituting a 2,500-foot health and safety buffer around oil wells, plus a phase-out plan of existing oil and gas operations in those neighborhoods, as well as a just transition toward renewable energy. Rising Up senior producer Anna Buss attended the rally and produced this report as part of our Earth Day special programming and our ongoing series, Rising Up in the Streets.
What do we want? Just when do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Just
when do we want it?
Now.
Why do we want
These were the chants that kicked
when
off the Stand Up for Justice rally on April 16th outside Los Angeles City Hall. Stand LA, a coalition of several grassroots environmental justice groups, led the effort to demand the end of urban toxic drilling in their neighborhoods and to have a just transition into renewable energy. Los Angeles has some 1,000 active oil wells today. About 800 of them are located as close as 200 feet from homes, parks, schools, places of worship, and hospitals, primarily in low-income communities and communities of color. 19-year-old Georgia Bernal is a resident and activist with Communities for a Better Environment.
I live in Wilmington, California. I actually live two streets away from Valero Refinery, and there's also an elementary school there and parks, and you can see how these recreative centers are impacted by these refineries and the ones that are surrounding it.
Wilmington is considered one of the most polluted cities in California. It contains 6,150 oil wells, with 90 of them actively operating, plus 5 oil refineries. For those living closest to these refineries and wells, the health impacts are devastating. That's because during oil extraction, toxic emissions are released, making people sick. Nayeli Kobo has lived next to an oil drilling plant in South Los Angeles her whole life.
I couldn't sleep horizontally. I had to sleep vertically because my nosebleeds were so intense I would choke on my own blood at night. I had heart palpitations and I had to use a heart monitor for several weeks. I was a third grader in class during learning about long division, for example, and saying, oh, my heart monitor filled up. I have to go to the office to send my recording. And nobody should worry about that, especially a little girl who's just trying to get her education.
The 19-year-old now fears that other, even more debilitating health issues caused by the long-term exposure to those toxins could eventually manifest.
There's other things that can come up in the future that I don't know about. Like, I have a higher risk of developing cancer. I can have damage to my reproductive system, which is something that's really scary because I've always dreamed of being a mom. So knowing that because of where I grew up, because South LA was the only place we could afford to live, is being denied of my dream of being a mother is being denied to me is not right.
Feeling those impacts firsthand, Nayeli and her community fought back. At the age of 9, she joined the campaign People Not Pozos, or People Not Wells, to expose Elanco Energy, the oil drilling facility next to her home.
I've dedicated countless hours and countless days to my activism and my community's right to breathe clean air, because these oil companies do studies to see what communities are most vulnerable to not fight back, because we don't have the proper access to education that tells us about our rights. So that's where I fight. So no other Angeleno has to be worried about whether they're going to develop cancer or not.
But being a young activist hasn't been easy.
People have always told me, oh, well, you're only 9, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're right, I don't know all the science behind it or anything, but I know my story. I know my community story, and that's what I'm here to share.
Through Nayeli's story, People Not Pozos had some 260 official complaints sent to air quality officials, plus a lawsuit filed against the facility by the Los Angeles City Attorney. Additionally, an EPA inspection that determined the oil facility did not meet standards and practices of the Clean Air Act. In the end, their efforts paid off.
I'm very proud to say Alanco Energy has been temporarily shut down for 5 years now because of our community efforts, and we are continuously working to permanently shut them down.
Since its closure, Nayeli's health has improved drastically.
Ever since they stopped operations, all of my symptoms have gone away except my asthma, since that doesn't have a cure, unfortunately. I can sleep horizontally again. I don't have spontaneous nosebleeds. I don't have body spasms. And knowing that all of this is preventable because these oil wells don't belong in our communities in the first place is upsetting.
Today, Nayeli remains an advocate, and she supports other communities' struggles, including Stand LA's, by canvassing, rallying, and organizing with them.
We've been door-to-door knocking, going to town hall meetings, city hall hearings to share our story, to let people know about what's going on in our very own backyards here in Los Angeles.
And since the achievements of People Not Pozos, many others have also envisioned their neighborhoods free from oil wells and refineries. That is what Stand LA Coalition wants. It has asked the city to institute a health and safety buffer zone, plus a 5-year phase-out plan of existing oil and gas operations, and a path toward a clean energy economy. Nayeli explains Stand LA's efforts.
We want to establish a 2,500-foot health and safety buffer zone between oil extraction and sensitive land. So schools, parks, hospitals. We want that so you won't be exposed to the toxic emissions. We want these wells to be shut down. And it's also time to move to clean renewable energy because we have the technology to do so. And it's ridiculous that we're still using things that we depended on in the 50s when there's non-toxic ways to get energy now.
Nayeli was recently selected as one of the 100 most influential people in climate policy, the same honor bestowed on the 16-year-old Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, who started the Youth Climate Strike and inspired others all over the world to do the same, Pope Francis, author Naomi Klein, environmentalist Vandana Chiva, as well as newly elected Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who helped propel the Green New Deal resolution in the United States.
I'm here, and I'm here with other people so our community becomes stronger, so we have the right and the ability to breathe clean air, so we have the right to drink clean water without being sick. And knowing that all of these people are here in unison with us is so heartwarming.
In fact, dozens of other allies and supporters came out to back Stand LA's demands. Members of the two groups explain how being of service to grassroots efforts is important to strengthen the environmental justice movement. Gabby Pierce is a hub coordinator with Sunrise Los Angeles.
It's one of the top priorities we have because, you know, climate change impacts everyone, but it's certainly impacted certain disenfranchised communities more significantly, and that's been going on for years and years, and those communities have been doing work on environmental justice for years and years, and so it's really important to us to be in service of those missions and that environmental justice work, and to be sure that that takes priority.
And here is Alyssa Nelson, a member of Extinction Rebellion LA.
We're here with Stand LA today because we are trying to embody what we are saying. So today we took all of our direction from Stand LA. We asked them what they needed from us as an organization, how we could be most of service to them. And that's what we're doing with a lot of other frontline neighborhood groups that are doing this environmental justice work, is just going in and asking, what do you want from us? What should we know? What do you need? How can we be most of service? Because this fight has been waged for a very long time. here in Los Angeles. Pretty much as long as there's been neighborhood drilling, there's been opposition to neighborhood drilling. And this is very much tied to the current crisis that we're in. So we have to support the people who are most affected over and over and over again, just be in a practice of that.
Alyssa explains that another way Extinction Rebellion collaborates with frontline advocates, it's by offering its privilege.
We're acting in solidarity from a position of relative privilege, because what we've seen is that the folks who are attracted to the message and the tactics of XR are people who are people of privilege. We are largely a white organization that we do embrace and center an intersectional approach. We are working with what we've got. And the people who have time and energy and privilege to do this are people who are white and educated and have a little bit more money right now. And that's great. We want to use that to the advantage of those communities.
Longtime environmental justice activist Lydia Ponce with the American Indian Movement says young activists understand what's at stake.
It's good to know that the youth are rising to the occasion of their future. I think the young ones are really stretching that message and saying, we don't want your hope. We don't want, you're not panicking. We need you to step up and move. We need to do something now. So I think that that urgency shared, because they will become eligible to vote when they turn 18. So, you know, we have to respect the voices of many and share that time. We have to make sure that in this movement, we as adults and the minors working together, that we assure that they're safe and we stand out of their way.
Hugo Garcia is with the Esperanza Community Housing Corporation.
At this time, we would like to give acknowledgement to our allies in this struggle, in particularly uplifting Black and brown communities. And I'll list the following organizations of allies right now. Pacoima Beautiful, Black Worker Center, Community Coalition, CD9 Coalition, CD Tech, Promesa Boyle Heights, Ethiopian Democratic Club.
I am Anna Buss, and this has been a special Earth Day report as part of our series, Rising Up in the Streets.
And that's a report on the fight to end urban oil drilling in Los Angeles. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.